Hi, today's August 26, 2018. This is Mobius Podcast 265, the Post-Hurricane Lane Podcast.
Yeah, you appear to be mostly dry over there.
We do appear to be mostly dry, and very fortunate to be so, in my opinion. But, yeah, it was kind of iffy for a while on Friday. It was kind of like waiting for voter printouts, except we were waiting for these periodic hurricane status updates that were at regular intervals, like 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 5 p.m., and then they're keeping us in suspense in between. Seriously? Like, oh no, we're not going to talk about it now. We'll talk about it at 5 p.m. Okie dokie. It's 4:30, right?
Well, this goes to a little bit of what you had put in our show notes. That we can wait to talk about with people marking themselves safe.
So the thing I wanted to note first is that as far as I could tell, and I had quite a bit of time to look for stuff. I should note that my office let off its employees all day Thursday and Friday to prepare. So I was at home moving things out of the way and moving things from outside inside and going to buy stuff. And I bought the last. It was actually kind of interesting. I actually had about 2/3 of a tank of gas, so I didn't have to fill up. But I figured, well, if I can, I will. So I stopped by a nearby gas station, and I was told several others were already out of gas. This was Wednesday afternoon at about 5:30. And I pulled into a gas station, and all they had left was premium, so you couldn't buy regular gas, which is okay. So I bought premium gas at some exorbitant price, like $4 a gallon or something like that. And as I was filling up my tank, one of the employees of the gas station was pulling yellow tape over my trunk because I was the last person to get gas there. Yeah. And there was a Starbucks in that same shopping center. And they had professional carpenters boarding up their window. They have large glass windows. Boarding up their windows. So it was quite a thing. In fact, on the news, I saw several businesses doing the same thing. You know, having carpenters come in, construction crews really come in and board up their windows.
I thought you were going to say after the gas, you went to go get Starbucks and they were putting tape over the doors you were going in. You were the last one to get Starbucks as well.
After gas, my next goal was to find double-headed nails since I didn't have those. And so I went to a local hardware store about 2-3 miles away from the gas station. And I bought the last two boxes of double-headed nails. I have to count myself as quite fortunate, I think. I think the only thing I didn't find in my little trek on Wednesday afternoon was propane tanks. And honestly, if I wanted to, I could. I wanted the little ones because I have just a little, you know, like a hibachi-sized burner. But if I had a big grill, you could still buy empty large tanks. I'm going to say 3 or 4 gallon size. And the hardware store was filling them up with propane, so that was.
You know, there was a guy who was right behind you the entire way, and just everything you
just
got,
cursing me out,
and just over and over again, he saw just the back of your head and thought that guy was already here.
Yeah,
and I bet he needed exactly what I need.
Yeah,
gas, Starbucks, nails. You just ruined that guy's day.
Now, on Tuesday, and we knew the hurricane was coming, so on Tuesday, I already had everything. I had, you know, food and water and stuff, but I went to go pick up some miscellaneous items like snacks, hurricane snacks as it was. Mm-hmm. And I went to a supermarket, and they were wiped out of bottled water. Just nothing left on the shelves. So I saw one guy who, lacking water, had bought 2 48-ounce canned cases of beer. So I think he was ready for the hurricane. He was going to feel no pain, you know.
Hurricane snacks.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you could call it a hurricane snack.
Yeah, I don't really know what hurricane snacks are. I live far enough inland that when a hurricane hits the Gulf Coast, we just get rain a few days later.
Yeah.
And so I've never had to buy hurricane snacks.
Well, to me, a hurricane snack is A, something that doesn't need any refrigeration, and B, is, you know, basically high in caloric content, so you don't feel hungry. Well, that's my theory anyway.
I can get you one of those, but you remember those Gushers fruit snacks that you can get? That Gusher. Seems like a hurricane snack because it's Gusher? Got a little bit of fake fruit juice inside of a fruit like a gummy snack.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Well, that seems appropriate. That seems like a hurricane snack.
That seems like everything in one. You get a beverage and a food thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like it's raining in your mouth.
Yeah. So, well, you can tell I'm not really talking about technology because really there's really nothing new in emergency preparation technology that I could find. And in fact, you know, one thing that is relatively new, came out a couple of years ago, is the local electric utility came out with an outage app, which I thought, well, that's pretty darn good. You know, that's a handy thing to have. It's one of my major complaints when we have, you know, we have frequent power outages, even when we don't have hurricanes here. And so I thought, oh, yeah, that'd be pretty cool. And, in fact, there's an outage near me right now. And, wow, there's some kind of giant traffic jam, too. But anyway, so I picked it up and I thought, well, okay, great. You know, at least I'll know where the outages are and where, you know, if they're relatively near. And some looked, they're a couple miles away, but near enough that I was prepping for, you know, an outage in this area. And I'm watching TV because, you know, they parade various experts. And then one of them was a spokesperson from the electric utility, the electric company. And he's saying, well, we have an outage app, but it's not too accurate. And I'm thinking, well, that's a that's a big help, you know? And it says, now I have no faith in this outage reporting. But, you know, he was saying, hey, you know, it's not real time. And, you know, the data doesn't go in immediately or something like that. So that was really disappointing to me.
You know, once or twice I've been at a restaurant and the wait staff will feel, I suppose, generous that night and I'll order something and I've actually had a waiter or waitress look at me and go, that's not that good tonight. You should try something else. And I usually take their advice. They might, I guess, be saving the last bits of it for themselves, but still. So this is sort of like that. You know, we have an outage app, but it's not very good. So if you're not sure if you have power or not, don't go off our app. You should actually see if, you know, the light turns on or something like that. If we tell you you don't have power, you might, and vice versa.
Yeah, so... Yeah, that was. I'm trying to think of anything else. You know, the weather apps, they were what they are. I mean, you know, weather should not be. You know, meteorology is not a science. It's whatever it is. It is a best guess based on past information, right?
I agree.
And that was the other thing, right? And you know, hey, you know, give credit to the meteorologists who are doing what they thought they're doing. But they said something interesting about, you know, we've had two nearby hurricanes in the last year or so, and one of them broke apart when it hit the Big Island, the mountains of the Big Island. At least that's what we think. And the rest of the islands, you know, were unscathed. Although the Big Island, which is the southernmost island in the chain and the largest, was hit pretty hard. It's where the volcanoes are. And you know, this followed the model pretty well, and everybody was very proud of themselves. And this time along, even the meteorologists saying, you know what? This thing is not following any model we've got, you know, and it was, they were predicting this and it did something else and predicted something else, and did something else. And thus, you know, that was one of the reasons I was glued to the TV set, is trying to get updates as well as, you know, going to the NOAA site, because we were not getting very accurate information. Well, let me rephrase that. We were getting accurate information. The models were not accurate. They were all over the place. And so as a result, you know, I kept grumbling to myself, hey, I wish you guys would tell us when the winds are going to start picking up to, you know, tropical storm or hurricane force winds. And they never did, really. And I was kind of mad at them. But really, they didn't know. You know, the models just weren't good enough to tell them, you know, they knew where the winds were at any given moment in time, but they didn't know where they were going to be. You know, it was kind of like the Wayne Gretzky advice, right? Don't look where the puck is. Look where the puck's going to be. But they didn't know where the puck was going to be. Mm-hmm. And so they couldn't give us the information. In fact, one newscaster was kind of talking to the TV meteorologist. Not the, you know, weather service meteorologist, a TV meteorologist. And say, okay, you're giving us all this information, so, but just tell us this. when is it going to hit us? And the guy, the poor TV meteorologist, just danced around the question, right? Because Queen, honestly, he didn't know either. You know, we just had best guesses. And the times kept shifting and, you know, and you're just kind of sitting around waiting, right? Like waiting for something bad to happen. And it's pretty annoying because you just don't have any better information. But at any rate, so, you know, all the weather utilities and stuff, they're no better than the, you know, what the meteorologists could provide. So basically, they were useless. Mm-hmm. You know, we kept seeing things like dangerously high winds in 3 hours, which never came. And not that I'm complaining, I should note. Big Island, again, where the volcanoes are, got hit with massive amounts of wind and water. I think some places got over 3 feet of water, 3 feet of rain, I should say, falling on them. And if you've ever had that much, and I think where you live, you've probably had some massive storms, but they were getting it for days. Yeah, over 3 feet of water falling. So, you know, the Hilo, which is the largest town, I think, on the east side of the island, it was flooded. The west side wasn't too bad. But, yeah, those poor folks. And also West Maui, I believe, for folks who've ever been to Hana and those kind of places. And, oh, just to make life more interesting, on the west side of Maui, there was a massive fire. I think it was, like, I don't know, what did it say, 2,000 acres or something? It was pretty big, you know, with homes being destroyed and stuff. So it was just a lot of stuff going on. We were very fortunate here in Oahu, where Honolulu is, that we did not get hit with much of anything. Well, at least where I live, we didn't get hit with much of anything. Here, other folks had some high winds. And power did go out because, yeah, that's how our power works. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I guess I'll say about it, unless I think of something else, is, and you have a good theory. I see your response in my show notes, or our show notes, is I couldn't figure out why people, all of whom I know personally, kept marking themselves as safe on Facebook when where we were, and I know where they are, there's no dangerous event, neither wind or rain. But your theory is a good one, I think. It's not that they didn't know where they were.
They knew where they were, and they knew they were. But so here's what I've noticed, and this is because I've moved about 700 miles away from where I grew up. So some of my friends don't really have a great grasp of geography.
Yeah.
And so when there is a hurricane that's about to hit New Orleans, which is, I don't know, 6 hours away from me, I will get a call saying, are you okay? Is everything all right?
And
I'll have to say, yes, we're fine. We're 6 hours away and 2 days away from seeing the storm.
Yeah.
And so I get the idea of marking yourself safe just so that the people who will freak out that you know
don't
know that you're okay, even though you know you're not in any danger.
Right.
And plus, the other reason why I ask people, why did you think that, you know, we were up, you know, well, I keep seeing on the news there's just mass devastation and, you know, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. And, you know, you gotta remember, the news makes money if you're watching. If you're not watching, they don't make money. So it's in their best interest to make it sound horrible. And unfortunately, when you're 700 miles away from your friends, sometimes you believe the news and you ask. So that's why I figure they were probably marking themselves safe. Plus, why not? You know, you got the mark safe button. You don't get that all the time. Facebook has endowed you with it. You might as well mark yourself safe.
You know, actually, I never saw the mark safe button.
They don't care if you're safe.
Yeah, I guess so.
People around you, they're concerned about.
Yeah. So I never got to mark myself as safe. And I don't think I would have anyway. Because, well, I didn't think I was in any danger. You know, especially after we were told that, I want to say 5, 6 p.m. Friday, that, the thing has slowed down to become a tropical storm, which is still dangerous. I mean, you don't want to get hit by a tropical storm, which is, you know, one step below Hurricane Cat 1. But you know, we felt a lot better. And, you know, we, as a result, basically, and of course, now that I've said that, I'm going to see pouring rain behind me in 3 minutes. But we never saw the downpour or high winds that the Big Island and West Maui, East Maui saw. So very fortunate, very fortunate. And now I had even more supplies. So, you know, I had my food supplies and water supplies, and now I've got double-headed nails, so I don't have to go look for that. next time around, because there will be a next time someday.
And somewhere there's someone on the island cursing you.
Yeah.
They wanted all of those things.
Yeah, the person who's right behind me that I got the last of.
You took them all.
All, yeah. Yeah, okay.
And that's got to make you feel good. Okay.
And you know, your grasp of geography thing, really, I remember years ago I was listening to a talk by a geographer who was talking about personal distance spaces, or no, cognitive geography or something like that. You're basically, when you think about geography, about where you are versus, for example, where you want to go, how well do you understand that? How well is that map in your head? Or not how well. How accurate is that map in your head compared to the actual map? So, do you know which direction you're heading? I mean, you know where you're going. You know, let's say it's a well-traveled path. But do you know if you're going north, northwest, south? You know, do you know how far it is? You know, is it a straight path? Is it a winding path? Do you have an idea of the actual distance? It's really was quite interesting. Really not thought about that kind of sort of the cognitive map we hold of the world around us. You know, basically after about 6 to 12 feet, it falls apart.
It is interesting, though, because I've talked with people who have very good senses of direction, in a sense. They know, kind of, if you ask them which way is north, south, east, west, because they, you know kind of where they're at in space, right, in terms of, I know I'm in this town and I'm facing this direction. And growing up in Ohio, along the shore of Lake Erie, you always knew that whatever way the lake was, it was north,
right,
because we were south of it. So I think some people just have a better built-in grasp of geography and how far apart things are. And other people, when they joke, you know, but it only looks like it's an inch apart on the map, they sort of think that way. Oh, you know, that's right next door. It's only an inch apart.
You know, and it's funny because in Hawaii in general, we don't use north, south, east, west directions. We use visual sight markers, or at least a knowledge of where they should be. So we talk about Mauka and Makai, which is Mauka is towards the mountains and Makai is towards the sea, which, of course, you know, towards the sea part kind of, well, they're all relative, right? If you're north in the mountains are south of you. That's still Mauka. Mm-hmm. If you're south in the mountains, Mauka is north of you, but it's still Mauka. And, you know, we're an island, so sea is all around you. But anyway, it's opposite. It's different. It's not sort of it's used as the 180 degree of the mountain, really. So the mountain is really the marker. And also, we don't use east and west. We use Diamond Head and Eva. And again, those are relative, right? So I happen to be east of Diamond Head, but, you know, if you're on the other side. But anyway, so when we translate, it's often interesting to watch a local person give a visitor instructions, because nobody here uses north, south, east, and west. But in any case. All right, something completely different. I just happened to read about the other day. And that's the Raspberry Pi 3 model B Plus now has power over Ethernet, which cool. is kind of interesting. It's a whole new board, by the way. It's not just like built into the main board. It's called a HAT. And, you know, basically sits on top of the Raspberry Pi 3 module. But pretty neat. But, you know, I don't think I have any switches that supports PoE. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't either. I've never done much with PoE, but I did have to explain PoE to a friend a few weeks ago, because the whole idea that you could get power over the same connection that you got your data seemed very strange to them.
Seemed magical, right?
Yeah, almost.
Well, you could maybe, I don't know, and this one may not work for everything, or everyone, I should say, but you know, the plain old telephone system, the wireline phones that so many people no longer have. But those actually have voltage on them. And that's why the old POTS phones, in a plain old telephone system phones, can ring when there's no power. Because they are, you know, the telephone lines actually provide the power to ring the phone. So, in fact, if you look at the way the, you know, two wires are set, they're called tip and ring. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway. So you could say, well, remember the old phones when there's a blackout, they used to ring, and they'll go, it's a phone. They probably don't even remember. Okay, and now so the last thing. We have a very short one, because I had no tech stuff that was of interest to me this past week. You've got something.
Yeah, so this last week I started teaching again as our fall semester started up. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I very, very rarely do is give out an in-class paper exam or quiz. For whatever reason, most of the time I'm able to do these things online, and I don't like taking up time in my class for them.
Mm.
So I don't do too many in-class things, and this time, though, for whatever reason, it just worked out better for me to, and I dug up one of the services that I've talked about before, but has a new improvement since I last used them, and that is ZipGrade.com, ZipGrade.com. ZipGrade, if you remember Scantron grading, which is still out there, ZipGrade is Scantron that runs through your phone. So you basically go, you download the app, it's a free app, you set up your quiz or your exam, you put how many questions are in, you put the answer key in. You can actually go on their website and they have pre-built papers or bubble forms for 20, 50, and 100 question quizzes.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found really interesting was that now they also have a custom form creator on their website. So if you only need 40 questions, but you need a 9-digit student ID, for example, so usually the 9-digit student ID is on their 100-question sheet. So for a while when I was using this more, I was always getting the 100-question sheet so I could use the 9-digit student ID. Now you can actually say, I only need 40 questions, and I also need a 9-digit student ID, and I also want students to write the following information. It's a pretty nice little wizard that creates these sheets for you.
And when you say create sheets, these are online or paper or both?
Well, they create a PDF that you download and you
print. Oh, okay. And which is easy to scan, for easy for it to scan and all that.
Yep. Yeah, it uses basically four blocks in the corners, and it captures those. And the cool thing about this is if you have students turning in the papers, you can grade it instantly. So if they want feedback, you know, as they're leaving the door, I actually had them on Friday. I would hold it over and go, you got 90%.
Yeah.
Or, you got 80%.
That's pretty cool.
But the service is free for 100 scans per month. So if you don't use a lot of, if you don't teach a lot of students, or you also don't give out a lot of quizzes, then you've got a free service. But you really can't argue with their unlimited scanning pricing. It is only $7 a year. $6.99 will get you unlimited scans.
That sounds pretty darn reasonable.
Pretty reasonable. Cost, and they have a web interface so you can do all the scanning on your phone and then use the web interface to look at the scores. Does item analysis. So really, it does take a little longer to scan these in versus if you were using, like, say, 200 on a Scantron. You could just put them all in there and let the Scantron go through it. But right. If you've only got 20 or 30 students, it scans at about 1 a second, so you're just swapping papers.
Wow, that's pretty fast.
Yeah, I've always been really impressed with their scanning and grading. So,
wow, and if you're really industrious, I guess you could use like a, you could set up a little frame and just slide the paper underneath and use a remote control to fire the camera. And
you wouldn't even have to do that because it'll automatically, as soon as it picks up the four things, it'll scan just and boom. Vibrate.
Wow.
So if you have your phone mounted in such a way where all you literally have to do is just hold the papers up and scan them.
Wow. You know, I found it fascinating that when you began this discussion, you described the type of test as an in-class test.
Yes.
Which I am old enough to, I would just call that a test.
Yes, that is the only test that you are aware of.
Yes, I don't think I've ever taken them. Well, that's not true. We did have online tests, but you actually had to go to like a room with computers and stuff. We couldn't do it like remotely. Mm. So it was still in a class, but just a different class. Okay, so that was pretty good. I, you know, like I said, I don't have much to say. It was kind of busy the last couple of days, and we're still just kind of unpacking what we packed now, so not a lot of time to look at stuff. I'm kind of looking at my phone to see if there's anything interesting for me to mention to you. No, not really. Not really.
There's just nothing going on.
No.
Well, and I'm starting to get amped up a little bit for when iOS 12 drops. I'm a little upset that some of the features I wanted are getting pushed to later releases this year. So things like group FaceTime. But otherwise...
Which they promised like years ago.
Yeah.
As I recall.
So otherwise, I don't have any real rants this week.
No.
I've been playing with the virtualization software on my NAS that I bought about a year ago.
Oh, nice.
I got around to playing with that a little more. So now I have a Windows 10 machine that I can access from anywhere on my network and a Linux machine from anywhere. So this is kind of fun stuff to play with, but not exactly mobile, but geeky in its own way.
Yeah. So when is it truly virtualization or is it like a container technology?
It actually can do both.
Oh, wow.
So it can do true virtualization and also can do containers.
Wow, that's
so
pretty nice.
So if you're just going to run one app, then you can use the container set up and download anything from Docker and install with one or two clicks. But if you want to do the full virtualization and be able to connect over VNC and all that, then you can do that as well.
Yeah. And I should mention something else. Well, two things. One is I can't remember if we discussed the possibility of a Mac Mini refresh the last time.
Only in jest that we don't think it's ever going to happen.
Apparently, it's going to happen. Well, that's the rumor. That's the current rumor, and it's a rumor, so take it as you will. Another rumor is that really it's more focused as folks who, like you, have used a Mac Mini as a little personal server. Versus, a little workstation. So, I don't know. I think you're past it. I'm kind of close to past it. So, it's after 4.5 years, I just don't.
It's just over.
And the other thing is, for friends on Facebook, I posted a photo of me throwing away a bunch of Windows 95 books with some regret, saying, what if I need to use it again? And guess what happened after I threw away my Windows 95 books?
You needed to use them.
Well, I could, if I had them. Because Windows 95 was released as an Electron app, so you can install Windows 95 in kind of an emulation mode. And
I did see that, yes.
Yeah.
So for those of you that are nostalgic.
But now I don't have any Windows 95 books, so I don't know how to use them. But you know what I'm saying. So I threw it away like 2 days too early. Okay, well, despite having nothing to say, we said stuff for almost half an hour. So, fun as usual. I should know we did not post the podcast last weekend. For those who wondered, John was super busy with school starting up.
That is very true.
So, we did skip a week, as we sometimes do. We'll check back with you later, maybe get some guests on. I think, let's see, what's happening? Apple should make some kind of announcement in September. We're sitting near the end of October, so that's not too far away. I don't think I expect any other announcements. Something did happen in between is I got Android Pie on my Pixel 2.
You have over there.
So I've got the latest version of Android. I will say it's pretty responsive. I would say I don't have any metrics, but it seems a lot more responsive. Some of the gesture changes are kind of interesting, but more on that later after I take some time to fuss with it. I've had it for about 2 weeks, but I really haven't fussed with it. But I do like it. It just seems a lot more responsive lately, and the battery, which is always good. In fact, it may be better than the iPhone. It's even better. So, yeah, when is iOS 12 coming up, or whatever?
We're probably looking about a month away, usually. It's usually about mid-September. I am actually very interested to hear once we hear more about the Pixel 3.
Mm.
Because I may actually go with Google Fi and get myself a Pixel 3 just to play with.
Well,
and then I will have a daily driver that's two modern daily drivers.
Yeah. And it's a good thing. I really like my Pixel. And I think one of the things you'll like it, well, you've got an iPhone 10, so it'll be interesting to see what you say, but I will say that in dim light, the Pixel 2 takes much better photos than the iPhone 7 Plus, which has an excellent camera in my opinion, but it just does a lot better in dim light than the iPhone. In general, otherwise, they're pretty close. Some photos, I prefer the Pixel 2. Because, and this is basically a setting more than anything else, I think they pump up the saturation in it, and they being the camera software designers. I think pump up the saturation a bit more than iPhone folks. Okay, but anyway, we are done with Mobile Use Podcast 265, the Post Hurricane Lane podcast, and we will talk to you later.